Okay, so after extended drink, we're at Rishvim Test Sif Beis. Rishvim Test Sif Beis was saying the parameters of what is Meiser, what is Chomish, and a little bit about what can be included in. If it's some more of that is mentioned later on, so we'll get into all the details of Meiser stuff tonight. Hopefully we'll get to that at some point. So Beis then sets up the absolute minimum for what a person can do with regards to a mitzvah of tzedakah. So if we are you guys in the tour or Shulchan Aruch? Where are you? You're in the front in the tour. So in the tour in Beis, while we're there, so it says Liolam on the top of page Lamed, it says Liolam lo yimna adam atzmo pachas mishlishis hashekel l'shana, that a person should not give less than a third of a shekel over the course of a year. V'hi shtus okei shel kesef, which is some kind of sixth of something. If you give less than that, so you haven't been yotzi the mitzvah at all. And where does this come from? So it actually comes from a pasuk in Nehemiah, that when Nehemiah, when they came back, so Nehemiah imposed this tax upon everybody, so besides the machzor shekel, he also requested that they give a third of a piece of silver, this is half, but a third of a piece of silver over the course over the course of the year. So the just so we know,
that's not a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money. It comes out too. He gives a measurement. Where was that here? He gives a measurement in the Piskei Tshuvos here, of where is it? There it is. That it comes out to 6.4 grams of pure silver. So in case you're wondering, silver is going for 48 cents a gram today. Now, he does say that the Midas Chassidus is that everybody give a 6 grams of gold, of pure gold, a year. So that's expensive. That's $43 a gram. So that kind of gets you to I'm sure, much less than many of us give to, than we give to Sukkah over the course of the year. Right?
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. We don't give, the money we give is not backed at all by any precious metals. Does that matter? We never give silver or gold.
So.
We're just giving paper.
Yeah, I don't.
But the government says it's money.
I don't think so. That's fine. With regards to, at least with regards to Sukkah. It's been more of a question when it comes to like pidyon abdam and things like that. That's a shiloh, like people give coins. The truth is, the coin thing doesn't really help either, because the coins also aren't really that valuable, except that they are, except that the actual metal in it is really valuable enough, just may not be the equivalent of the thing. Right, a penny is worth less than a penny. The anti-penny people like to point that out.
Okay.
That it costs more to make a penny than a penny.
That's where the things come out of circulation. Copper is
going to
be worth more than a penny.
Yeah. Yep. Which has a very snap. I think I could give a whole shiur on nafkaminas of a penny. Not for now. Okay, anyways, so that's a minimum over the course of the year. Rav Schechter said that when people got married, when he was a bacher and got married, so Rav Lessin, who was the Mashkiach at the time, and we used to go to all the boys who got married and said two things. Number one is make sure you continue to take your wife out on dates. And the second thing is, if you're being supported by your parents and in-laws, so don't give Meiser Ksafim. So that was there giving, right? We talked about that before. What's the chiyuv on money that is given? That's the Piskei Tshuva here. What is the chiyuv on money that is given from other that already presumably had Meiser taken off of? So, but there is a minimum requirement of giving stock a year. So that presumably they could do. That's what you can do. But the Meiser Ksafim is not appropriate that one should do. Okay, instead of going back and forth, let's just go straight on to Gimel here. So Gimel is Tzarech Litein Tzedaka B'Sefer Panim Yafos. That's I'm looking in the Shulchan Aruch itself. Sorry. Gimel in the tour. V'chasher Yitnena Yitein Osa B'Sefer Panim Yafos. That when you give it, it should be given with a nice demeanor. B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav V'Misonein Ima'ani B'Tzaro. You can sympathize with the poor person in his pain, and with Abrelo Divri Tanchum, given words of consolation, mafsid es zechuso. And if you give it in a with a angry face, so then you have lost your zechus. That's a challenging thing sometimes. So says the Beis Yosef here, that this is, he's really getting this from the Rambam. And he says, V'cholza, this is all learned out from a Gemara in the beginning of Bava Basra. So that's one of the big tzedakah Gemaras, the beginning of Bava Basra, as well as the middle of Ksuvus. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Hanosim Prutal Ani, Mizbarich b'sheish brachos u'mefaiso b'dvarim mizbarich b'yud aleph brachos u'maisi lamikroi. That's the positive aspect, that if you give the one who gives money gets 6 brachos, and if you say nice words to them, you get 11 brachos, separate brachos. I mean, if you do both, then you get 17 brachos. But you see that it's more important to give kind words than the money itself. And then he quotes, I'm not sure that Aniyam would agree to that, but anyways, that's what the idea is. Also, Raus, avad zechusa. You've lost your schus. Afilu nasin lo harbe va'avra al v'lo yirel levavcha. Even if you give a lot of money and you have violated this pasuk in Devarim, that you shouldn't have a bad heart when one gives it. Fine. So how does that work? So let's just go. We pop back to the Shulchan Aruch. We'll keep your hand on the space here. So in the Shulchan Aruch itself, it says in Reish Mem Tes, we could read Sif Beis, the old Yim the Adam Atzma Pachus Mishlishis Hashekel Shin Kiv less than a third of shekel a year. Yim Nasim Pachus Mizel Lo Kai Mitzvot Tzedaka. By the way, the Piskei Tshuvas here adds in. He says it doesn't all have to be in one shot. I mean, you don't have to give at one time that amount. Even over the course of the year, you give it in multiple pieces. That's going to be sufficient. But then the Gimlet. Right, but not. I mean, it could mean once a year, you got to give a gift at least that large. So it doesn't mean that. Gimel, is a bit of a question. Yeah, I think he raises the question of if you give less than a pruta, does that count to the cheshbon? Yeah, that right. Could be that doesn't count even as given. All right. So tzarech li, that's one of the halachas where pennies come in handy for.
Penny used to be more than a pruta, but now it's less.
You think it's less than a pruta? Okay. So tzarech liten hatzdaka b'seir panim yafus b'simcha v'tuv leivav. That once you give the tzaka with a kind face and with joy, umis onen umarim b'tzaro umedaber lo tivrei tanchumen. Right, is all that the Torah said. V'im nastam b'fnim zofos v'roz hefsed zechus. And if you give with this scowl, so then you have lost your zechus. So how does that work? So Rashi and the Shach continues the term here. Afilu nasan lo harbe, even if you give a lot, we over al v'lo yirel levavcha. That will, and you will be in violation of this that you have given with a bad, sort of a bad countenance. So, he actually quotes here in a footnote. From I don't know who this was, the Rav HaKodesh Moreno Rav Mi Pristig, Riminov, Shamar Sharab Sefer Kadmon, that he once saw in an earlier Sefer, Shal Kain Lo Mevarchim Bracha Al Tzedakah, that this might be the reason that you don't make a bracha when you give tzedakah. Why? Like Kamala Shar Mitzvah, like you do on other mitzvahs. Why? Because you should give it in joy. V'hamun Am Ruva De Ruva Inam Nosnim V'simcha. And most people don't really do it that way. So therefore, you can't make the bracha. You don't make the bracha in tzedakah because you're not really fulfilling the mitzvah as it was intended to be fulfilled. Okay, but then what's this other half? That if you give with it, therefore you lose your zechus. You lose your schar that you're supposed to get from it. So how does that work? So he says here that Yachulav. I'm just hearing the Piskei Shu. So he quotes here from. There is basically that could be that not only are you being mevaza the ani in front of you, you're also being mevaza the mitzvah. I mean, if the mitzvah is supposed to be done v'simcha and you're doing it in a disarming way, you're over on bizui mitzvah. So by doing so, by being mevaza the mitzvah, you've therefore been mevaza the schar that could come along with it, and therefore one's not going to merit the schar. So make sure you keep the happy face on for the duration of the giving process. Okay.
So the reason you don't make a bracha on stakas, I thought you didn't know how much to give.
There's many reasons that are given as to why not to make the bracha. The more lumdisha reasons have to do with, it could be that you never make a bracha on a mitzvah, but adon l'chavera. That's number one. Number two, it will take away if you're about to give money to the guy and you say, okay, hold on a second, baruch atah, I make a bracha, so that causes a greater bizayon to that other individual. The other possibility is that it's not necessarily in your you don't get to decide necessarily whether the mitzvah gets completed. So you're going to make a bracha. By the time you finish the bracha, the guy's like, forget it, I'm walking, and he walks away. So now you're left with this money, and you're looking for people to give money to. So because it's, but it's because it's not in your, you don't have the full decision as to whether to go ahead with, as whether the mitzvah is going to happen or not. So therefore there's, I think that's also a reason to give in. I remember the Rashba gives, like, the reason. I just don't remember which one of those he gives.
The guy could be a fraud.
What? The guy could also be a fraud. Okay.
Perhaps. I find these guys come to the house, and they start demanding more money than I want to give them. And it's hard to keep safe upon the offer when you're fighting with the guy.
Yes, I was wondering about that. I thought to myself that, yeah, but you already gave at that point.
Well, no, I'm about to give. No, we want more.
No, well, you give... Oh, yeah. The way it works here, so you give it to them. Yeah, they take a look at the check to say, "What's this?" Right. So, so at that point, well, it's already over. So then you can. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So. All right. So. Yeah, there's not much here in the Beis Yosef either. So you just stay while we're here in the Shulchan Aruch, you could just say a dalid, right? So let's say the ani asks you, and you don't know what to give him. So lo yigar bo v'yagbiya kolo. So don't yell at him and don't raise your voice. El yifaisu bedvarim, but you know, calm him down. V'yir olivo hatov shiratzon olitin lo elishin yada masegas, and like demonstrate that you really would love to give him, but you just don't have the ability to. So. Fine, so that sort of fits in with Sif Gimel. Then the Ramah says something interesting. It says, and it's prohibited to turn away an ani empty-handed. Afilu einosin lo rakro gerasachas. Even if you only give him a tiny shenemar al yishuv dach nichleim, that don't turn around and oppress him. Don't turn around the oppressed in shame. Okay, so where does that pasuk come from? So that it's from the Torah. The Torah is actually in the next Sif in Siman Rish Nun. But where is that pasuk? That's actually a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim is that one should not turn away their turn away the oppressed in shame. So the only problem, the only question is that there's plenty of psukim. There's here he quotes three psukim that are in the Torah itself about don't not give. Something, don't turn away, don't get, let an ani leave empty-handed, that you're actually obligated to give, and there's a prohibition in not giving him something. So why is the Ramah going and finding this pasuk deep in, it's really a question on the Torah, but why are they going and digging up this pasuk in the middle of Tehillim, when the actual mitzvahs in the Torah about giving tzedakah seem to enunciate the same exact prohibition that the Ramah is talking about right here. Right, so what's going on there? So he suggests here, that the Ramah in this sif is talking about people that you actually don't have a chiv of tzedakah to, and this is the same issue with regards to the chiv of the meiser ksafim from last week, that the mitzvah of tzedakah is to give up to a tenth, right? Meiser ksafim is to separate money to make sure and to go out and find a neim to which you can give a tenth to. Right, that's the distinction that we made in Sif Alf. And then Sif Beis says, and make sure you don't give less than this. So what do you mean give less than this? So first, I didn't enunciate that. Remember, it was quoted from a pasuk in Nehemia. So it's a little bit of, it's probably only a din derabanan. But what is that din derabanan? To go, it's the same thing as Meiser Ksafim. I mean, the idea of Meiser Ksafim is I'm going to separate a tenth before any ani comes to my door, and then I'm going to have an account from which I'm going to go and disperse. I'm going to go find people that I'm going to give this money to. So that's the chiyuv then of not giving less than a third of a shekel. That even if no aniim ever come to my door, I'm still going to separate at least a third and go ahead and find somebody that I'm going to give that to. So a third of a shekel thing. Oh. The third of a shekel thing. So then we get to Sif Dalid, where the Ramah is saying that, and you're not allowed to turn anybody around, so here the Pesach Mutshuvos explains that the Ramah is, in the Torah is talking about, if somebody comes, you should give him, don't turn him away. I mean, those are people that you have a chiv tzedakah to give to them. this pasuk in Tehillim is even if you don't have a chiyuv tzedakah to give to them. Now, what would be the scenario of somebody that you're not mechuyev to give to? So he gives two qualifications here. He says, number one, in order to have a chiyuv to give the person money, he has to be asking for himself. That's number one. There's no chiyuv tzedakah. That's his suggestion here. I'm curious about this, especially based on something that maybe we'll get to in Sif Hei. But he suggests that if he's asking for himself, and also if he's asking for something which he needs that day, which he needs right away. But if it's something in the future, there is no absolute chiyuv to give him, as he says. There's no absolute chiyuv to give him, and therefore those lavim in the Torah of don't clench your fist, etc., is not going to be applicable. Now, some suggest nowadays that some of these halachos have changed. I mean, we don't live day to day; we live it's a little more complex. So that idea of a day to day thing, try to understand that a little bit more, but that's his suggestion. I mean, the reason why the Ramah only quoted the pasuk from Tehillim is because this isn't the actual law in the Torah of refraining from giving to somebody, of holding your fist back and not giving. This is talking about somebody who you don't have an absolute chiyuv to give, but still, even those people shouldn't be left empty-handed.
So when people come around.
So which category are they in?
We don't know what category they're in.
Well, they usually tell you.
Right. If somebody's asking for themselves, at least you know they tell you.
I'm curious that this is, I mean, strike up a conversation with them. I have the issue of walking by and shul.
Yeah, well, if you don't have to, you don't know. But I mean, the whole concept of God-like stuff is someone's collecting for other people.
Yes, so that's Sifei. Sifei talks about the God-like stuff. So he then goes ahead here and gives a bunch of examples of, okay, so when would this not be applicable? Are there any examples of when this, when would you be permitted to not give to somebody? So number one, he says, if you already gave to him for this issue. Right? And he comes back and asks you again. Or he gave him the day before, and he comes today. Right? If it's not a new thing, so then you don't have to give him again. Now, he said, yesterday I asked you for lunch yesterday. Now I'm asking for you for lunch today. Right? So how do you actually work that out? Not sure. And also, if he doesn't have a a person who, this doesn't apply to somebody who actually is making money from tzedakah, somebody is being helped out, so he doesn't have this chiyuv that from this pasuk in Tehillim, and you also don't, and if you don't have money at that point, so then you're also not mechuyev to give. Your pockets are empty, you're not mechuyev to go and borrow money from somebody else in order to give it, which you might be chayev to do if it was an actual chiyuv tzedakah. That's his suggestion. I remember when Rav Shechter once said in Shir that I think they asked of Cook, I think, that in front of the yeshiva there's a bunch of people that are always asking for money. So you're mechuyev to give them every day because of this thing. So he said, no. He says, the chiyuv of tzedakah is for people that don't have jobs. Those guys have a job. Their job is to stand in front of the yeshiva. That's for people that come in. Yeah. I'm not sure how that fits in, but I didn't see a quote anywhere here.
Yeah.
But he used to say that regularly. Okay.
So you don't have to give every day.
To that category of individuals, so one would not be chiyuv to give every day. I just made it clear, I remember Shechter is a massive Baal Tzedakah, but it was just a comment that he made about the chiyuv of people that are right in front of yeshivas and things like that, lower shuls and those people of that nature. One other thing that he says here is about, well, what about if you're in the middle of davening? So that's usually a heter, that if somebody is in the middle of davening, so then, and he comes and asks you for money, so then you don't have to give. However, that for sure is if he's during the parts of davening that one is not permitted to respond to somebody. So if you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you're in the first paragraph of Shema, or you're between putting on your tefillin shel yad, your tefillin shel rosh, so then you're absolutely putter from giving them. What about the other parts of tefillah? What about if you're in the middle of Sukkah de Zimras? How does that work? So he says, so that's a machlokas. So there are those that say that even Sukkah de Zimra you're pater from giving, because osik v'mitzvah pater min a mitzvah. And some that say that no, that osik v'mitzvah pater min a mitzvah is only when you are involved in a mitzvah, you're exempt from doing another mitzvah. But don't forget, when it comes, there's also a lav aspect of tzedakah. Now, is a sort of commingling of the topics here, mixing things up, which happens in Hilchos Tzedakah. But there is a lo taseh involved. So therefore, ein osik min mitzvah, ein pater min mitzvah v'halo. I forgot the rule goes exactly, but your aseh doesn't beat out the lo taseh and the aseh together. So therefore, one should give even during those fasts. It seems like the majority is on the first side though, that you don't have to give to somebody if you're in the middle of davening. That seems to be the minhag. I would. He adds in here also that the reason to give is because you can give and not be interrupted. So he quotes from Chaim Kanievsky here, he said, but in reality it doesn't happen, right? In reality, a person who gives is going to be interrupted. So therefore, even those that say that maybe you should give, that's assuming that you won't be distracted. Practically, people will be distracted, so therefore you don't give. Most shuls that I've davened in have a pretty solid rule that people aren't allowed to collect money during the course of davening. I think when I davened in Baltimore, I think they were. In Brooklyn, they do. In Brooklyn, they do go around and collect even while davening, but I think most shuls stop Anidim from going around during that time.
In my opinion, it's bound to be disruptive because the guy's talking. He has to talk in order to solicit money.
Well, they go around shaking the coins. Another use of pennies. Right?
Yeah, they do. Sometimes they do that, but a lot of times they stop talking and interruptive.
Okay, he adds in that might only be by Aniyim, not necessarily by, there's no Isser of the Gabbai to leave him, right? V'dinze hu dafka ba'anish mevakish over atzmo, v'aval lo mish mevakish over achim. But not for somebody who's asking on behalf of somebody else. I mean, the idea of the Ramah, that the Ramah is quoting here, that you're not allowed to leave somebody empty-handed, that's only by the Ani himself, not by a Gabbai that's collecting on his behalf. Nevertheless, if you turn to Sif, hey, in Sifhei it says, "Im yachol lasos lachem sheyitnu scharo sheyitnu." If you can do for others, if you could get others to give, meaning you're not the one giving, you're a bundler. Right? That's the terminology in politics. You're a bundler. So sheyitnu scharo gadol mischar hanotin. Your schar is actually greater than the schar of the giver. Why is that? So, and he adds in here, it's not just from those that were forced to give, but even those that want to give, that's what the Shach adds in. Even those that want to give, your schar is still going to be better. So why would that possibly be? Why would that be that your schar would be greater? So he says, where was that? There is. He gets a lot of. There's no chiyuv of being nice to the gabbai like there is to be nice to the tzedakah. So he will often get the grunts and groans from people that perhaps the person collecting tzedakah won't, and he's not even getting the money for it. It's really going on to somebody else. The other thing I thought I saw, I can't find it right now, is that the person who got the money, he will often want to pay back the people, meaning a person who collected tzedakah, so he collects tzedakah and there's no chiyuv for him to give back. But let's say he's collected tzedakah for many years and then he strikes it rich. So he's going to want to give money back to the people who gave him money. So who's he going to give money back to? The people who gave the money. Is he going to give back money back to the bundler? Not as like, I mean, he could, right? But not as like. I mean, the for people who are giving tzedakah, there's more of a chance. You know, he's totally lishma. The guy who's the gabbai is to be considered acting a little bit more on the lishma side. Okay, and then there is the so then you get into the levels of giving tzedakah. This is very famous. We still have some time here. Yeah, okay. So in Sifav it says Shmona Milos Yesh Bitzdaka Zula Malam Yizu. There's eight levels. Come from the Rambam. Mila Hagadol She'ein Lamalam Imena Hamachzik Biyad Yisrael Heimach V'Nosin Lo Matana O Halva O Osa Shutvus O Mamsi Lo Malacha. That you strengthen the hand of another person and you give him a gift or a loan. Or you make a partnership with it, or you find him work, in order to strengthen him such that he will not require brios, and he won't have to ask anymore. With regards to that, the pasuk mentions that you have strengthened him. So there's some things. For instance, what do you consider giving tzedakah? Why is that? How is giving tzedakah any different than v'nosin lo matana, than giving him a gift? Yeah. Right? Isn't that what tzedakah is? That you're giving him a gift and you're not going to expect anything back from that. So first of all, actually, before we get there, so the Beis Yosef actually quotes. So the Beis Yosef himself actually gives the answer to that question, that he says that Shadayin Loha Ani Lagamri Eino Misbayish Shekin Dercha Ovim Latin Matanos Elazeh, because these are things that are not tzedakah. I mean, giving tzedakah is something that's embarrassing. Awarding the person a scholarship is something that everybody gets scholarship. Like even very smart rich people get scholarships. Therefore, I'm getting a scholarship just like they're getting a scholarship. Similarly to the partnership or allowing somebody to work for you or things like that. Even so, then you're supporting them in ways that they feel normal, as opposed to somebody that's just on the other hand, on the other side of the tzedakah, receiving thing. Because the ani is not going to be embarrassed from it. It's also, it seems to be coming from a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. That's what the Shach says as well. The dayan lo ha'ani legamri enu misvayish. He's not poor. He's not going to be embarrassed, etc. He adds in here that this whole idea of giving the loan is also helpful in that you're giving him money. Clearly, it's going to help him. But if it's a heter iska type loan, where you're actually collecting interest from him, interest in a halakhically permissible way. So he says that's not necessarily going to qualify as tzedakah, because often they're not necessarily going to come up on top of that situation. However, that could be the shutfus situation. I mean, that could fall into the category of shutfus, that they have a partnership together, and that's also a way of normalizing it such that we're working together, as opposed to the ani just being receiving from other people. He's able to maintain his dignity. Okay.
So that's the highest level.
That's considered the highest level. All right, we start at the highest level here. Actually, I think the Rambam might work his way up. I didn't look up the Rambam himself. I think the Rambam works his way up, but Shulchan Aruch works his way down. All right, so that's as far as I got. Well, I guess we'll pick up with this musician next week.
Oh, well, the air conditioner probably went off.
But it's more than a minute also. I thought, well, but maybe I'll just get it.
So actually...